Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Am I coming in okay?
You are.
Okay.
I'm going to show myself here just for those that, how are you? Waving at the back here.
Yeah, we actually are doing something a little interesting today. I think Paul is recording it. I don't think it's live. Is it live?
We're streaming this live over our Facebook channel, and then we're also streaming it live over audio. So you're getting audio only over our website. And then if you go and look up OC Talk Radio, our Facebook fan page, you can see it live in studio.
And people can watch me texting and posting on Facebook.
All that stuff. Yeah.
But basically, all right, so we are using the is this like the live function on Facebook that was just
this
added?
This is like the Howard Stern Show or the Rush Limbaugh. This is you're watching the in studio what's happening.
We
here.
Have two ladies in the studio today. So that no surprises are going to come popping through the door Don't scare people like that, Paul.
Okay.
But we are trying something. We've talked about this for a long time. The show's been on the air for over a year, and I know Paul's been kind of toying with this idea, but we're trying to do both video and audio feeds. So you guys that are on there and are able to join us, go to the OC Talk Radio Facebook page. I'm guessing it's live.
It's live there,
it's
right?
It's live,
now.
And it'll be recorded, so we will share that afterwards. If you haven't experimented with that live feature, and if you're in a business or whatever, you can be obnoxious like I was when I was in Hawaii, and I actually, was shooting, streaming live sunsets from Hawaii every night from Maui, and people would just ask me to stop after a while.
Please stop.
And then the luau, the last night of the luau at the Wailea, at the Marriott in Wailea. But that's a great feature. So, it's amazing how it used to take a huge studio with three cameras and everything to bring you guys bring us all content before, and you'd have to have, kind of professional editors and so forth.
Are you saying we're not professional?
We are professionals. I would never say we're not
okay.
Professionals. Others may say we're not professionals, but I would never say that.
You certainly have some professionals in the audience here.
I do. But anyway, go play around with that Facebook Live thing. The person who I actually brought it to my attention. The first is Robert Reich, who used to be the economic, I can't remember, but under Clinton, I think it was. And he's got a show every week that pops up, and I love it. He's like sitting in front of his books in his library.
Yeah.
And he's got a couple of interns, I think, handing him little things, snippets that people are asking questions. And he's got a live show that goes on the air every week Facebook. It's just like this. So anyway, let us know what you think.
We're streaming over YouTube and we're streaming over Facebook.
I'm hoping that your comments would reflect my need for makeup and that Paul will factor that into the show's budget. But
yes.
And David Welsh, Bespoke. See, I told you.
There was a reason that we
There was a reason. Bespoke is one of our sponsors, and he was, this is a custom tailor in Costa Mesa, bespokestyle.com. B and then spoke, S-P-O-K-E, no E after B. But I told him, I said, you got to be like the official sponsor for
wardrobe provider
for the show. And he said, it's a radio show. And I said, yes, but not for long. So there you go, David. See, I promised.
There you go.
So anyway, going to our show, we talk about this as a big, big thing for us here. And starting out with Paul, actually, as a good example, is that we tell people, never rob yourself of the uniqueness of your own story, and always... if it's possible and you're fortunate in your life, the sooner the better, find what your passion in life is. Not only just what you're good at, but what you actually look forward to actually waking up, let's say 9 out of 10 days in a row and basically want to do. Feel that you're contributing, you're giving, being of service or furthering things, because that really has a direct link, we believe, to the quality of life that you have, the sort of the environment and the vibe around you and people around you and so forth. And it really sustains you. And, it used to be that 65, you're retired. Well, you don't have to anymore. You know, as long as you can be feel of being of service, or
you're starting
you might not be
act.
Able to actually retire.
Yeah. You're starting a whole new act.
Right. So, you know, you hear terms like encore careers, you hear terms like that, and I think...
Rewiring instead of retiring.
Rewiring instead of retiring. We like that one, too. That should be on a T-shirt, actually, Paul, I think, for the show. But, so keeping in that vein, and we've had artists, we've had business owners, you know, we've had people that have made that pursuit of passion their livelihood. Today in the studio, I'm very, very pleased to have with me two ladies that are an example of that in my mind, and I will let them basically share that who they are with you. But in the studio today, I have Rima Neshashibi, who's a friend and a colleague, and I've known her a little bit longer than Linda DeMario. And Linda's from the Irvine Chamber Economic Development, and Rima owns her own business and does international consultancy. And I'm going to basically just which one of you ladies would like to start? Linda, you want to kick us off? Tell people who you are. How do you find yourself doing what you do at the chamber today? Because I know you have an extensive background. Like, what is it, 30 years of doing
because
good?
Because I'm old.
You don't start off by saying, like, 30 years. What, like 100 years? You've been doing this for 90 years?
No, that's
years?
You.
No. No, there's not been a day of my life.
That's what her LinkedIn says.
Where I've never felt old.
Oh, you checked her out.
I stalk people all the time in preparation for the show.
Yeah. Stalking me, I like that. Yeah, no, I
promised you a good time, didn't I?
I will tell you, inventing your own life is one of the great joys, and I've had the opportunity to pretty much invent my life. I was in the Air Force, for goodness sake. You know, I went to college, political science, managed political campaigns for a living, got into the hotel business and hotel sales management for years, worked for Disneyland Hotel, the Queen Mary. Then destination marketing organizations in Oakland, California, in Tucson, Arizona, in Arlington, Texas, and Long Beach, California.
Mm-hmm.
I had my own consultancy for economic development and tourism for 6 years. And then the Irvine Chamber of Commerce made me an offer that I could not refuse. The opportunity to do work that I love, economic development and tourism, for a city that has such an excellent and well-earned reputation.
Sure, of course.
And to make a difference. So here I am.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, that's and how long have you been there?
I've been there for 3 years, June 1.
So that's kind of, you know, I think very forward-thinking on their part, because I know, you know, I'm involved with a couple other chambers, and I think what it really impresses me about the Irvine Chamber, and again, I stalked them a little bit too, so I looked a little bit about stuff on their website and the breakdown. It's my habit. I shouldn't say that. I'm not by habit a stalker.
Stalker.
Okay. I do it for...
See, I call you a raconteur downtown, but not stalker.
Thank you. Appreciate that. It's less liable. But I think what was really impressive for me when I looked at the chamber, at Irvine Chamber, is, and I know people that are involved in other things like emerging professionals and so forth, that, you know, it's so well crafted, the structure, I think, of that chamber. The way that the areas of focus are really not only clearly defined, but they pull people in that have a passion, like we go back to that word, in a passion or a skill to really provide, be it a task force orientation or more of a, you know, a position like yours. I really was impressed by that. And I think it just only elevates what this community, the city, the chamber has to offer.
Give us some info on the chamber.
Now and in the future.
Isn't it one of the largest chambers around?
I appreciate that so much. And I have to give all credit to Talia Hart, who's our president and CEO, and the culture that she creates, which allows people to just be the best that they can be.
So that's amazing. I mean, that's talk about leadership. For anybody who's spent any time in any kind of corporate environment or corporate structure understands the difference that that thing that you just described really is.
Right. And our board of directors is completely supportive of that culture that she's built and allows the experts, the staff, the professional staff, to do their work. And so we're able to create models, if you will, operating models.
Mm-hmm.
We're not your grandfather's chamber.
Absolutely not.
I mean, we jettisoned the old committee system
right.
where you come every month, whether you
yeah.
like it or not, and sit around and talk about things.
Right.
We are, as Rima well knows, because she got completely pulled into the vortex. But we are very much action mm-hmm. and results oriented,
yeah.
and we are working with literally four generations of community leaders and membership.
Wow. Well, wow. Yeah, talk about what a great thing. I mean, I can understand how that's an offer you can't refuse.
So give us the statistic. I tried to butt in earlier here, but give us how big is the
they
chamber?
Ignored you.
They ignored me. Isn't that amazing? I'm sitting over in the corner.
What happens when you get older? People just yeah. size my line.
We have, in terms of membership size, we're 800 strong.
That's got to be one of the bigger chambers.
It is indeed. It is indeed. I will tell you, however, what further distinguishes it, though, is that we have the support of 16 hotels in the city of Irvine.
Oh, wow.
That fund our economic development and tourism outreach and programs.
Talk about the means to do what you need to do.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Yeah.
It's a great opportunity. And as a consequence, this chamber has been able to generate traction in areas that other chambers would not have the wherewithal for, mm-hmm. perhaps. And that includes the economic development. We literally represent the city of Irvine around the globe in terms of attracting business, retaining business, workforce development, and international development and exporting.
Which is a perfect segue. But before we do that, how far, when you say around the globe, just give the audience a little taste. You know, how far is around the globe?
Well, in addition to our membership and the coalition mm-hmm. That we've built with our International American Chambers, I mean, literally around the globe. But we're working with people in Africa. We're working with people on every continent, working with people in China.
Mm-hmm.
We had the largest conglomerate in Mongolia
yes.
make a call on us recently because they're looking to invest in Irvine.
That up. That's why I asked.
Yes,
yeah.
I know. We have people from, 2 weeks ago from Peru,
mm-hmm.
So South America. That's the global impact. Irvine has a well-earned reputation. We like to think we're polishing it mm-hmm. and sustaining it.
And they also had a visitor the other day from Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's literally visitors from all over the
and
place.
And what do they look for when they come to the chamber? What are those people seeking? Are they looking for information? Are they looking for help? Are they looking
opportunities,
for ideas?
Yeah. Guidance?
All of the above.
Yeah. All of the above.
All of the above, indeed. Sometimes it's a matter of investment, commercial or residential
mm-hmm.
Real estate. Sometimes they're looking for a merger or an acquisition. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're looking to a beachhead in California or the United States for their company. Sometimes they are exploring schools or mm-hmm. colleges mm-hmm. and universities for their children.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all full scope.
Yeah, we had a gentleman here that's a political figure. I'm blanking on the
you
gentleman.
Obviously
Matthew. I'm sorry.
Is that a first or
yeah, yeah, right. it's some timers.
You're talking
right?
about not Alzheimer's,
no,
just some timers.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
Assemblyman
while you're thinking,
Matthew.
You're talking about the Assemblyman?
Yes.
I forgot.
See. Anyway,
who's our local assemblyman here in the area?
Just
Google it for God's sake.
All right. Harper. Okay. Was it Harper? No.
Harper. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, Harper. I keep thinking Harper's Bazaar can't be Harper's Bazaar. I'm dating myself now.
Wow,
on the
Harper's
side, right?
Bazaar.
So
yeah.
Anyway, so Assemblyman Matthew Harper, and he was talking about, because Irvine's part of his territory, and he was talking about how there is an influx of Chinese. That are looking at it, as, like you were saying, from an educational resource as far as for their kids, which then directly links into real estate purchases, investment in the community, and so forth and so on. And so you know...
It's, every year we have at least 12 delegations of Chinese, sometimes
wow.
associated with the government, sometimes public-private sector,
yeah.
That make... calls on the Irvine Chamber, and it's an exchange, presentations, and what have you. But there's clearly instability in the Chinese monetary
right.
market right now. And
that's
so
what
you
he was
have
saying.
A,
yeah.
You have a lot of Chinese that are looking to invest their money in where it's more stable, and the American dollar is.
Right.
Irvine is attracted to them. It's interesting how they find out. But in most cases, it's because of our global companies and the reputation of mm-hmm. Irvine. But it's usually through their children. who are sent
fascinating.
Here, go to University of California, Irvine, and then they start out with buying a small apartment or a condo for them, and then that interest grows.
And I know some of the developers have been building multi-generational housing
closer
to the
Five Point.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
In Irvine.
Which caters to that kind of a cultural mix and dynamics. Yeah, it's very interesting when, you know, a lot of people, I think, drive the freeway on the 5 and go through Irvine and Costa Mesa and all this stuff, and we talk about Orange County, and I think there's still a little bit of thinking that Orange County is this sort of all suburban, you know, residential neighborhoods where people work elsewhere and so forth. And if you've been paying attention to what's going on the freeway near Jamboree and MacArthur and, you know, Alton and San Canyon, you realize that there's changes going on. And
let's some of the companies that are here. Give us some of your biggest players.
Well, I mean, you know, the Allergan, which still has a huge presence here, obviously. Broadcom, which is building an extended campus as well. You know, Western Digital. Those are some of the major global companies
Blizzard,
that we have
World
in our arsenal.
Warcraft, well, yeah,
I was going to get
Edwards Life
Blizzard Entertainment. Thank you very much, Edwards Life Sciences. Yeah. But those are just some examples. We have, but there are other companies like CTC Global, for example, that does the cabling for fiber optic. They're truly a global company around the world. You'd never know it because you could drive by them every day and you wouldn't know it. So there's a lot of companies like that.
There's a lot. I mean, I used to work for one of those heavy hitters that used to be on the back bay in University in Newport Beach, and they moved to the Spectrum, WATNG. And for, I don't think it's changed, but when I was there for the last 50 years, this was like in the early 2000s, in the last 50 years, people knocked on their doors and basically gave them money to build five-star hotels globally. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the talent base that is in Irvine or in that Orange County sector, be it medical, be it design, be it construction, be it technology, be it gaming. Gaming is huge, right?
Huge. And from that virtual reality, people don't realize
until
they sold the company.
Oculus. Life Sciences is huge, too.
Yeah.
But there's also Eon Reality, too, that's located here that's doing a lot of VR work around the globe,
we
too.
Which is all really development industries. It's all innovation that's happening. Yeah,
we hosted something at UC Irvine. We were picked to stream it over there, and then we hosted one of the seminars on virtual reality. I had no idea how big this thing and how rapidly this thing is coming. This is going to be a multi-billion-dollar business, and it could be centered here in Irvine and Orange County.
Yeah, in fact, on May 17 and 18, they're doing Octane is hosting their technology investor forum, and that is an entire panel. An entire seminar and workshop at it, virtual reality, artificial intelligence. And
The crossover with virtual reality, I remember back in 98, I was working with a guy in Atlanta, and we were talking about just simply how to take the online presence and retail, does the e-commerce and the online presence, and merge them into more of an experiential exchange, because then people were staying on the websites longer. And it really was a shopping game. And so that was in 98 that the experimentation was happening. The broadband wasn't big enough. The individual processors weren't fast enough, all of this stuff. So for now, for this to be, it's going to touch everything. It's going to touch medical. It's going to touch pretty much every sector of your life.
Well, you're going to be able to diagnose stuff
visualization,
from a distance. You're going to have simulators, and you're going to have all the games and all the other things.
But it also, what you're describing is that ecosystem that distinguishes Irvine, because with 15 colleges and universities, our companies will tell you that the talent acquisition is here, that the talent pipeline exists here for Blizzard and the gaming, as well as for life sciences and technology.
We have 15 colleges?
15 colleges and universities have a footprint in Irvine.
And don't forget, I have to put in my two cents here, don't forget the small mom-and-pop operations and the sole proprietors and the consulting firms Nishishibi International Consulting.
Well, and
they're the heart of the chamber.
Rima, why don't you introduce, we kind of just dovetail directly, why don't you introduce yourself and your company and what you've been involved in, just to get people up to speed.
And why you joined the chamber.
And why you're drawn into the vortex of the chamber.
I
think that's how you termed it, right?
Because they are forward-thinking, and she's right. It is a vortex. I mean, somebody pulled me in to attend a committee meeting.
Yeah.
And it was for the World Trade Week last year, and it was the first annual World Trade Week. And I went to the meeting, and the rest is history.
You never got out.
I never did. Just now, they
just wanted to come here.
Yes. You know, Rima.
Yeah, I do.
This is a force of nature.
When you and I first sat down and talked, right?
Yeah.
I said, yes, I know Rima, and you were explaining to me how this thing happened.
Yes.
I go, yeah, pretty much.
No.
Yeah, right.
I mean, she did.
Sorry, we were talking about it.
She did come to that planning meeting for the World Trade Week event, and next thing you know, she's my resident rainmaker, and she's. Out recruiting.
Where have you been the last few years that we needed the rain here?
Recruiting companies to...
I'm still dancing.
recruiting companies.
Rain dance.
It was so interesting, though, I have to share this, because in the early days, I was just grateful for her support and her energy and her network. And it wasn't too very long after that where I realized I was grateful for knowing her as a human being and appreciating her experiences. So I have to say that. So now, will you please share how fabulous you are?
Perfectly.
Please.
Just hand it over. Go ahead.
What do you do? Well, first of all, you said consulting. What do you do?
Well, I worked for AIG for 20 years in the corporate world. And then in 2013, I started my own consulting firm. And it came out of all the contacts that I have and people coming to me for saying, we need help with this, we need help with that. I'm like, that's a great idea. Let me open my own consulting firm.
And give us some this and that. You said with this and help
with there's
that.
Some good this and that, especially recently. No, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, it's okay.
We're not going into that.
Well whatever you want to brag about. I'm not going to talk about that.
Don't be vague. You know,
see, now people are going, what the heck is going on?
Yeah. Stay tuned. Maybe
next week.
Yeah, absolutely. But what the consulting firm does is cultural sensitivity training. We also help nonprofits get established. We help with career transition. And we also do event planning.
Wow.
And we help people with marketing.
Do you bake on the weekends, too, or anything? Or do you
cooking is not my forte, but I'm looking for a husband that can cook.
She does have a good kitchen. The kitchen is laid out, so you know, just need the husband to cook.
The cook is there.
You know, I do a lot of fun events. Rod may not know that, but I do actually do fun events other than fundraising and all political and all that kind of things. But I do an Iron Chef extravaganza at my house where all the friends come in, bring in their food, and they cook, and then we sit and eat family style. And the main reason being is lots of food is left, so I get to.
For a while. I was going to say, you're set for a couple of months after that.
Yes. So when should we come over tonight? Is that taking place?
No, it's next weekend.
I have to say, on this show, there's something about food that happens. We had a couple of chefs in there, and then Paul was like, well, wait a minute. They showed up. They didn't even bring food. We were like, you know, you're going to show up, and again, you have to bring something.
Yeah.
So we guilted them into actually bringing some food and stuff. So, yeah, and maybe it's the lunch hour, you know, that we have the show on.
So it keeps me going on the air here. We're always looking for food. So when you do career, that's a really wide selection of services, from event planning to political fundraisers to, what was the other one, career transition?
Multicultural.
And help nonprofits. Yeah,
the
cultural sensitivity programs. Well, because, for example, if a company wants to send their employees, let's say, to the Middle East.
Right.
And then we go in and we educate them about the Middle East and the religions and everything. But we insist that not only the employees attend, but the family. Because most of the time, the employee is working, and so they don't get bored or, you know, they don't get in conflict with the locals or something like that. So the hidden cost of
business is business to a certain degree everywhere. So the business environment might not be so strange, but when you walk out the door into the rest of the country here,
No, but because you need to understand the culture where you go. And that's where we did those webinars through the Irvine Chamber. And you said before, they're forward thinking.
They are.
I mean, I knew as soon as I stepped into that room in that first meeting that, I mean, they are a force of nature.
And so we've done shows on import-export, and they talk about going to China and saying, how much is that in real money? you know, typical American, ugly American things that we say or do, or not understanding the culture of exchanging business cards, or even on a deeper level, they talk about American business and run over and they say, look, I got 3 days here. I want to sign 3 contracts and get 3 things going. They're like, no.
You can't do that.
We've got to get to know you a little bit.
Absolutely. I mean, Paul, I remember being in design, in business school, doing my master's degree back in 1985. And back then, they were talking about, you know, there's a lot of the Japanese business, right? There was a lot of international business with Japan. And there was books and books written about the fact that after about almost a decade of doing business with Japan, the typical mentality here that was not culturally sensitive would go over there and basically would present in these presentations. American businesses would go to present in presentations, and the Japanese would just sit back.
Yeah.
And they would listen to all the presentation, and then they would say nothing. And then the American presentation style is, wait a minute, I'm expecting feedback. There's no feedback. So now all of a sudden I'm concerned and worried that basically I'm not going to close this deal.
Right.
So now I start to compromise. Now I start giving things away. And the Japanese go, okay, well, we'll just stay quietly even longer. Right? By the time you're done, you've given away the farm, and basically they're just sitting there. Right? I mean, no, there was such a thing as Theory Z, and it was written about extensively, and I remember this. Now, the funny thing is, roll forward, I'm a designer, I'm on a project, I'm actually in Beirut, okay? Mm-hmm. And the company is out of Atlanta, and it's an international company, and they have offices in Jakarta, and they have offices in LA, and blah, blah, blah. And they basically had presented a proposal, okay, for doing the design on a tower in the coastline of Beirut, okay? This is a multi-story tower that you wanted to have because everything was 2-3-story building. This got a separate waiver to go up that high, okay? Four Seasons, da-da-da. They had given a proposal to the interiors. The holding company that was going to build the project wanted them to do the project, okay? But they went back and said, well, could you basically review this? Because here's the cultural difference. In the Middle East, specifically this case, when you gave that proposal is the initiation of the negotiation. Mm. It is not the fait accompli, final piece of paper
it's
that's
not
generated.
It's the sign on the dotted line, we're done deal.
So the guy basically really wanted to give them the project. But he couldn't get them to go back and revise or negotiate. Or, you know, it's like the old line from Monty Python, Life of Brian, when he's being chased by the Romans down the old marketplace in Judea, and he's basically trying to escape, and he goes into the bar. The guy is selling fake beards, okay? And the guy is a brunette, and he grabs a red-haired beard, right? And he's going to put it on, and he goes, how much for this? And the guy tells him, and he goes, okay, and he gives him the money. He goes, no, that's not how it's done. You must haggle.
Yeah.
Okay?
You must, I have no time
you,
to haggle.
You must
here.
Haggle. And then he goes, okay, so how much is no. And they haggle a little bit. He goes, no, you really must haggle, right? And meanwhile, he's being chased by the Roman centurions, right? And then he buys it, he puts it on, and you realize the inside joke is that it's not even the right hair color.
Yeah, right.
Right?
So Americans are always in a hurry. We want to get it done. Let's just cut to the bottom line here, and that's obviously not
what hand do you What hand do you eat in if you're in a public setting. I mean, it's not just business is business, true, but there are cultural nuances of how you conduct business.
And that's what Rima brought to the chamber in her role as she's a task force leader for multicultural training.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And so our website, our economic development website, which helps equip people, small, medium companies that are thinking about exporting, this equips them with some basic knowledge so that they're better prepared and empowered. And Rima, tell us the countries that you've already established.
Here and there,
slide decks,
all around.
No, but it's a long list.
Well, the last one that we did was Hong Kong, India, Malaysia, and Turkey. And then we also did the Arabian Gulf, and we did Taiwan, Japan. We were
just
everywhere.
A whirlwind tour. You went to all these places.
Yes, absolutely. In a webinar, we went to all these places.
I see.
But we basically told them. I mean, it comes down even to: do you hand your business card with two hands?
Two hands,
do you
one hand. Right, exactly.
So they give you the business card in two hands. You have to accept it in two hands. Mm-hmm. And I get into the habit of writing on the back where I met the person and the data and everything. You can't do that in some of these countries.
Yeah.
You have to put it in front of you. You have to put it in your back portfolio. Read it. Take time to read it and then put it in front of you at the meeting table. Don't shove it in your back pocket.
I fumble badly.
I mean, these have direct impacts on the bottom line.
They do.
I mean,
body language and facial expressions.
And the gifts. in Taiwan, you,
did you, bring any gifts
flowers,
here? You know, when you come on the radio, you have to
no.
Bring
in the United States, it's called bribery. You know?
Actually, we did.
It did,
but because it melted while we were waiting.
Oh, waiting for Rod to arrive.
That's good. That's good. Yes. I like it.
Oh, see. Oh. On that note, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back and see if we can recover from this.
Ouch.
After this.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
You know, they say that one of the best traits that somebody has is to be able to make fun of themselves. So, you know, before we went on to the break, I was basically reminded that I was not here on time. You
never
know. Wait a minute. Hold on. I was here on time, but not in a timely manner. I should have been here earlier. And so,
you know, a lot of our friends are waiting for this interaction between you and I. So,
I appreciate it. I think that salvo right before the break was right on. Right? I mean, you know, I can already hear people high-fiving each other. Right?
Finally, somebody yes. called him on it.
Yes.
Do you know he's actually? This is crazy. Can you imagine if he was at KABC or if he was on CNN? He's actually had the nerve to call in and say, "Well, I'm not quite there. Let's start the show on the phone." And then he walks in talking on the phone and transitions to the microphone.
He doesn't have time to put makeup on.
thank God for a week in Hawaii to get a little color on my face. But you know, I think it's appropriate, and I'll poke fun at myself, right? I think it's appropriate to say that these are sort of some of the things that when we went to the break, and we have Rimana Shashibi on the show today and Linda DiMario from the Irvine Chamber, economic development. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about cultural differences, and we were talking about things that you have to be aware of because it really could be detrimental
right.
to what you're trying to accomplish. In certain cultures, there's at least the pretense or the assumption that time is more fluid than others.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, if you arrive for an appointment in Mexico on time, it is a faux pas.
Exactly. So again, I guess we're going to have to broadcast
the
show from Mexico.
We have to get on to Tijuana.
But I think, and it's fine. You know, I'll be the first to admit, you know, I apologize for not being here in a timely manner.
Hey, let me talk about my friend Jerry Dotterman.
Okay.
He called me this morning, and I'm planning something. And he said, Rima, you know, 5:30 to 8:30, that's a long time. But he said, you know, if you tell us 6:30, we Americans come in at 6:30. I'm like, ouch.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I said, okay, yeah. I'll be careful.
That's right. Yeah, in some places, you have to say for an event, if you want them to be there by 6:30, you want to start at 5:30 because nobody wants to be the first one in. On the other hand, you know, some people want to arrive late, fashionably.
And so these things.
This is the culture of radio, though. We have to be on time. You know, the ship, the trains have to run on time.
Okay.
There.
So,
yes.
So
you,
getting
you
back
need
on
to,
track.
You need to be back on time.
Getting back on track with the show is. The thing about it, that's some more high-fiving I think I just heard, but I think the point that we're trying to make is, where do you get that training? Where do you get that sensitivity, that nuances? And it's not only specifically to business. We've touched on this on the show before when it comes to caregiving and different realities of the people that are the end users, the recipients of the care. If they have particular religious beliefs, if they have particular nuances of dietary habits, you know, these things, if we do a one-size-fits-all approach,
it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
No.
So where do you go and get that kind of sensitivity?
Can I take it to to an even bigger level that will bring it back to this show here. We always have a way of wandering off topic and then coming back here to this show. This show is about reimagining yourself, rediscovering that next journey, that next part of your life here. And for many of us, that's going to be getting out of our comfort zone and doing something different, creating a business, going overseas, doing something we haven't done before. And that's where you need expertise and help many times to do these types of things. So do you do that too, career transitioning?
I do. And, you know, the Irvine Chamber is the best place to do it at. Because as I mentioned.
Big,
you know,
smile
when I
on
went,
Linda's face when you brought it right back.
Yeah. When I went there for the first meeting, and a friend of mine, Abir Abdelrahim, she was very involved in the committee, and she got me there. Not knowing what I was getting into, she said, come and just attend this meeting. And I go into the meeting, and I was blown away by the people there, by Linda DiMario, how professional she is. Mm-hmm. She's a force to reckon with. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there and listening, and Rod knows me, and now Linda does. It's like, I couldn't sit still. So it's like, here, I could do this, I could do that. What about this? What about that? And they were so hospitable, and they listen in. But what I love about the Irvine Chamber is that they're forward thinking, and Rod said that before.
Yes, mm-hmm.
They
visible.
Think about their members, mm-hmm. and they try to anticipate their members' needs. Mm. And so they have all these task force just in order to make sure that they have programs in place by anticipating their members' needs.
That doesn't sound like the chambers I've been to. Usually it's just ribbon cutting and social things.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's not your grandfather's chamber.
No.
We have four generations of business people and community leadership involved. And Rima's involvement has been huge. I mean, she's here talking about the chamber, but in fact, look at it from the perspective of professional staff. How grateful and humbled I am that this kind of intellectual capital, you know, is saying, here, take my experience and my expertise.
Right. Yeah.
Because we don't just, the global microsite that we're building right now, that is made possible by the work that Rima and others are doing. You know, the experience and expertise that they're bringing to the table is literally priceless.
So what kind of a task force? As you've mentioned that. Give me some samples.
I started on the World Trade Week committee meeting.
Right,
and
okay.
then and you have I a, ended up sponsoring, yeah. being one of the sponsors right. for the first one. And now we're having a second one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we had around 250 people attending, and it was awesome. You had diplomatic corps. You have all kinds of ethnic Chamber of Commerce's, mm-hmm. and then you have the businesses, and the networking is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year, it's much larger, and we're expecting about 400 mm-hmm. people coming in. But then after that first meeting that I attended, they said, you know what, we're going to start a different task forces, and we would like you to be the chair of the multicultural task force. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what would you like me to do?
Perfect
and
fit,
they said,
actually.
It was.
Perfect
it was.
Fit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so one of the first countries that we covered were in the Middle East, around the Arabian Gulf. And so, you know, you research and you get information on Google and other sites, but then I send that information to my friends in Kuwait and others and say, so right. what do you think of Saudi Arabia? What do you think of this?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, no, this is not good. This is not good. This is not good.
Who told you that? Yeah,
this is. But that's why the chamber is so important, because then you can go to the archives and the countries that we covered.
So is this a place just to connect with others, to network? Is it a place to learn about something so that you can take your business to another level here?
I have learned so much. And for somebody that have been in the corporate world all my life and now starting my own business, it's a bit scary.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that I'm being taken care of. I mean, there's so much that Irvine Chamber can help you with.
Yeah.
Mentors.
Yeah.
They have all these networking events. I mean, you'll be so busy just going
What struck me as really different, and I plan to delve deeper and deeper involvement-wise with the chamber, in the Irvine Chamber. But
You're not a member, are you?
Well, I'm not yet.
He's trying to dodge that one.
Where's your checkbook?
it's in my bag.
Thank you, Rima.
It's in my bag. I will write a check.
Get him right now.
Well, you know, it's the least I can do for not being timely, right?
Yeah. there you go. That's
talk about buying.
Another high five.
talk about buying yourself out of a problem. But the thing that really struck me, and Linda mentioned it, and Paul, you mentioned it, is traditionally the chambers are structured on some sort of committee structure, and it's sort of committees that are trying to hold holders for everything and anything, kind of very loose.
That is not the case with this. This is very specific, task force oriented. And what I found is that I at least have the feeling that it's a place where you can contribute.
Yes.
And not just where, you know, how do I get a best rate on my advertising, whatever. It's, you could actually bring that wealth of experience that you may have accumulated along the way and actually bring it to bear either as part of a larger project or effort or to impart it to other people that are maybe just starting. And that is really attractive. I think anybody who has spent a lot of time doing something that they feel passionately about, that outlet is extremely important. And when you're, to Rima's point, is that, you know, when you're working on your own or you're a sole proprietor or you have a smaller company, a mom-and-pop situation, those outlets are not there.
Well, so you're working by yourself,
so you
too.
Feel, you have, you right. So, so you seek, you know, you seek going back to your alma mater and maybe teaching a class or taking on some, you know, mentorship in your industry or something. But those are very important because we learn through those as we go forward and we also give through those.
Yes. And once you, and again, once you reckon with the fact that there's, if you want to remain relevant and useful and impactful in your community, you have to approach it from the perspective of four generations, at least four. And so time poverty, too much to do, social media, kids, extended families, all those demands, you have, you must reinvent the engagement model.
And the game is changing all the time on you.
It is.
It's not
it
just
is.
That. They also, we have a program. I say we, now I have vested interest.
Yes, you do.
I mean, I worked on a lot of committees before I became a member.
But that's just her passion, how she's passionate about stuff, right?
Because
she's
in it,
in the midst of it.
It is. But it's all,
true.
But
no, it's true. It's to your credit.
It's also made possible by, again, that unique funding source that we have, which is that, yes, primarily members are engaged in our task force work, but community leadership is encouraged. Today we had a meeting with, we have a lot of colleges and universities and others that are involved. But, you know, going back to the international real quick is that in addition to the international work, the chamber's always had some sort of international outreach. I think in the last few years we've just become more strategic about it. And that's, again...
Yeah, it's not an afterthought anymore.
That's correct. Yeah. And that, again, is a reflection on where our member companies or our community, business community companies are taking their goods and services. And so from that, you know, we extract this amazing talent and expertise from Rima and others, and we build a more strategic international outreach. And that's what we've got. That's what we have now. And part of that... Rad, part of that, to bring this back to World Trade Week that Rima mentioned, this is a humbling coalition. The Irvine Chamber is the platform for that. But events like this don't happen by themselves. They happen because you have true believers like Rima and hundreds of others who are helping us work on it. But every International American Chamber in Orange County is a partner with us on this.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that on the flyer.
Do you work with the? We've had Jim Mayfield from the Commerce Department.
Oh my goodness!
Shocked to find that the Commerce Department, which doesn't have that many field offices, has one here in Irvine.
I know, and they're so active. They're they are beyond partners.
They also vetted some of the information that we did, the research on some of the countries. He even Jim sent me connected me with a colleague in Santiago, Chile, when I did. You know, the cultural sensitivities information about Chile. And
first source, basically.
But U.S. Commercial Service, the Small Business Administration, the Small Business Development Center, the Women in Trade in OC. I mean, just every...
Well, and you have some of the educational institutions as
we
well.
We do.
About, right? Irvine Valley
UCI
College and UCI.
Irvine Valley
but
College.
But you know what they also do is they think, okay, so you have a business and you come to them for a certificate of origin. And that's how we told tailored the first countries that we covered in the multicultural thing. And then now they're starting an export 101. So you're a company that you want to export your business. You need to know about those countries and tariffs and all kinds of things.
How do you do business in another country?
Yeah, that's right.
So they started a resource and they call it Export 101. And you put in the company and what you are good at and what kind of benefit can you give members of the Irvine Chamber of Commerce. So we have that list. And then we have the investment, the Foreign Investment Committee. And then, so we take care of our members, not just from inception, but even if they want contacts in those countries they're heading to, that's where Jim Mayfield and others come in. And so they're able to either tell them, where do you go and find an interpreter in China?
Right. And that's one of the things that's surprising. When he came in, there are a lot of programs that the Commerce Department's trying to do. The Obama administration set out to double the American exports by the end of his second term, which they're, I think, close to doing if they haven't already. And yet, I don't hear much talk about it. I don't see many people. I know they're doing things, but the general public doesn't know where to go to get a lot of this information. There are programs out there, and they don't know where to start.
Well, and that's a perfect thing, because one of the things that I think you have, one of the things you have on that program, and Linda, would you give people,
first of all, when is the program?
Yeah, give people the website and the dates of the actual week.
Absolutely. You can go to www.irvinechamber.com/OC World Trade Week.
And the dates that the...
And the date is Tuesday, May 17 at the Irvine Marriott. Seats are only $50. You can still purchase a table, although we're getting close to selling out, which is the good news. UPS is our champion sponsor. Edwards Life Science is an advocate sponsor. Wells Fargo, Port of L.A., Mission Viejo Chamber, interestingly enough, and Customs Now are supporter sponsors. But I think what Rima and I... both share is this great appreciation for this coalition of organizations that are out there championing trade and export.
But Linda, tell us about... Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
I have this habit of interrupting sometimes.
That's okay.
My brain is going faster.
I tried it earlier and they ignored me, so
we did.
So sit around this
not
table.
Only do we, not only does the Irvine Chamber take care of existing businesses and help them, but they're starting with students. Linda, tell us about that program that we have coming up Saturday.
A couple minutes left here.
Our companies in Orange County have advised us that the talent pipeline is very strong. However, the new employees are lacking in some basic verbal communication, team building, critical thinking.
Because they've sat on their widgets and social media their whole life. They don't know how to talk anymore.
You know, on some what they call soft skills.
Right.
And so the way they're writing is the way you send somebody a text.
And so we recognize that technology is changing. Okay, that's good. Let's figure out a way to help these students become adaptable and flexible for the 21st century workplace. And so we have a program this Saturday called Career Edge. And it's a combination of an online course that they take through UCI Extension. And then we're doing a real-world workshop with our own coaches that Rima is part of as well to evaluate their writing skills.
So I think that's fascinating because you're touching people so early on in their career path, even maybe guiding them to a career path.
Because they listen to what their members are telling
them. Now, in terms of this show, have you ever created a task force or a committee or an event around the needs of seniors as we're all aging here? What are we going to need for this last half of the journey, this last 30, 40 years? What, in terms of job skills as we reimagine ourselves, or in terms of maybe we don't have the technological skills that we need, or maybe we don't.
I sure don't.
Yeah. So, you know, and Rod talks about it all the time, in the cities themselves, what are they going to have to do to adapt as you can't drive as well, or you need transportation to things when you really get older, 80, 90 or whatever here. There's a lot of things in place. Orange County, according to what we've heard, has the fastest, largest growing population.
Concentration of seniors.
Of seniors.
So maybe that's a new task force for the Irvine Chamber.
There we go.
Well, I'll tell you an interesting thing about that relevant to colleges. A few years ago, it came to my attention that in some universities, some of the larger alma mater Ivy League universities were sort of deep-pocketed, well-heeled kind of alums, is that they're actually taking some of their properties and they're basically building sort of, whether it's residential, private held, or timeshare, or some sort of residential kind of dwellings, because what they're realizing is that people, as they get older, and they are maybe, whether it's because they want to change career path, or maybe just for interest and continuous intellectual stimulation, if you will, right, they're basically likely to come in and sign up for programs.
Sure.
So they're tying in vacation, residential, free time kind of thing with real estate development and putting them on campuses, because they're realizing that these people that went to actually that alma mater and have a strong affinity and relevance, not only do they want the skybox in the new stadium, but they also want to be able, they can potentially come back in and spend more money getting classes that are not towards a degree.
Going to seminars, meeting people, learning things. Yeah.
So they're definitely, I think that that kind of focus is something that we've realized more and more every time we have somebody on the show is not really institutionalized.
The baby boomers are going to redefine what it means to get old. We bristle at the term old age or senior citizens. We don't want to be called that. So what are we going to do? We redefined what it was to be a teenager. We redefined, we were hippies, we were yuppies, and we're now, what are we? You know, we're going to be something different. And I don't think most of the cities, and maybe the chambers could be a facilitator of this, are envisioning what that's going to look like. We're not just going to get old, retire, and go play golf and move out and
do
something.
No, we're starting our own business.
Exactly.
That's right.
Let me give you an example. Yeah. I mean, I'm technologically challenged, and I hate to say that on the air. But, I mean, my nephew, it took him overnight to build our website.
Yeah.
It's an awesome website. But now I'm chasing him around to get him to update my website.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly
right.
At least teach me.
Well, one of the reasons we created this station was to give voice to a lot of businesses. There was no radio station in this community. There certainly was no way for businesses to have a voice. And more so, to have it on the internet. Have it on that device that Rod can't stop playing with over here. That little tiny smartphone. If you don't exist on that, you don't exist. And that device is designed not to read on anymore. It's designed to watch or listen. You can do everything that you can do on a computer, except you can't read well on a little 4-inch screen.
But you know how sad? How sad is it that, have you noticed when you go to restaurants these days, you'll see families.
Yeah.
They're not talking to each other.
Right.
They're all looking at their smartphones.
Yep. Absolutely.
I mean, that is really very sad.
But that's the wave of the future. So if you want to communicate to people, you need to not only understand those devices, but how to communicate through them.
But how do we get Rod to respond to an email where I invited him to dinner? And I had to follow up so many times. He's so busy with Facebook.
You should have put it as a Facebook invitation.
He still has Hawaii brain. Give him
I actually do. I admitted last week that I almost didn't come back, right? It's definitely Hawaii brain.
And when Rod started doing a show here, he had some questions about getting started, and he didn't send me an email. He didn't even send me a text. He sent it to me through Facebook.
He does that.
And I'm like, Facebook, do people communicate?
Yes, they do.
Platform?
That's the whole point. Okay, I have people communicating changes.
I had to figure out how to do it.
I have people communicating changes, okay, to projects.
Through Facebook.
Not even through Facebook. Through text. Okay? And if it's not through text, it's through... I have a client right now that is visiting in India.
Yeah.
We are doing a project for her. Okay? She set up a WhatsApp group called House Project. And she's got her husband on there and myself. And she basically is... We're sending her emails. She's sending me feedback on WhatsApp.
Social media.
But you know, my last training in Saudi Arabia, I do a couple of things for various... Anyway, the last training...
She almost said it.
But.
Almost. They work on the WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
See.
I mean, everything is done on WhatsApp.
Do you know why? Because WhatsApp, actually, even this week, you know, that whole hoopla about iPhones and Apple and providing a back gate to encryption so that they can actually access the phones for the guys in San Bernardino County because of the explosion. And there's this whole privacy thing that went played out, right, on the national scene. WhatsApp, from day one, was encrypted. And they up their encryption.
So it's private.
So there's an encryption factor. And
so
that's,
the big
that's
brother
why,
in these other countries can't
that's
go
why.
Say what
so, you're so it's not that people are trying to get away with something, but in certain countries where there's more scrutiny on social media, people use those means because they want to ensure their privacy. Their privacy is violated all the time, so they use the encryption not to hide something that is malicious, but to basically protect their privacy.
But here's the good news about this. If you look at the billions of communications that are going out through all the social media channels, the good news is people are communicating more than ever.
Sure.
They're communicating differently, but they're communicating more.
And they're communicating constantly.
Linda, the one thing that we have talked about here, too, though, is with that much communication, what is the quality of the connection? And that's where I think some nuances that Rima brings to bear, especially on the international sensitivity to international scene, and also that face-to-face, that mentorship, that touching people when they're early on in their career path. Those are those soft skills that you're talking about.
Yes.
That we are suffering from a loss of soft skills. So it's great to have somebody like the Irvine Chamber, which I will add, the word that really, I think, in my mind, differentiates it from some other chambers that are maybe engaged in export and large international business, is there's a spirit of entrepreneurship that,
yes,
I think is very much part. I mean, there's a reason why that magazine printed in Irvine, right?
Yeah.
Is there is a spirit of that really, I think, differentiates the kind of industries that we have, as big as they are, still had that spirit of entrepreneurship.
On that note, we're going to have to leave because we're right up against the clock. How do they reach everybody? Let's go around and talk with the
Linda,
chamber.
Linda, how do they reach you or the chamber?
Yeah, irvinechamber.com. And that's a portal to our economic development website and Destination Irvine website as well.
And Rima?
And 949-462-4888. And
what, it's Rima Nashashibi. Is that a phone? Is that a phone?
No, that's WhatsApp. And it's Rima Nashashibi International Consultants.com.
Right. Spell it.
N-A-S... Do you have enough time?
Go ahead.
N-A-S-H-A-S-H-I-B-I internationalconsultants.com.
And if anybody's listening, you can go to our Facebook page. The both ladies' information is on there as far as the name of the companies, and I'll add the websites as well. But, yeah, definitely want to check... You guys want to check out the Irvine Chamber of Commerce Trade Organization International Chamber. This is their second year doing World Trade Week. And participate in that.
And
I definitely plan to do that.
There you go.
And then definitely check out Rima's website. There's a wealth of information. You guys are just starting, I think.
And we're just ending.
We're very excited.
And we're ending the show.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.